crazy. You may be seated. We're gonna have a couple of dedications this morning. On this, you can go ahead. Amen. On this resurrection morning, it's a wonderful time for little events to take place in the church, like mothers dedicating their babies. And it's something new. It's something's been added to their home. Some new blessing has come to them, and they want to, in return, give it back to God. So sing with me this song, Bring Them In. Bring Them In. Brother Jimmy, I don't know what key it's in. Lord. You can remain in your seats. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you for this service this morning, dear God, and on this beautiful day of resurrection, dear God. Lord, we're looking back and worshiping you, Lord, on the day, Lord, that you rose from the dead, Lord, and came back to be alive and Lord, to reign forevermore. And I ask God for your blessings on this service, your blessings on the word, Lord. May you guide us now, we pray, through the scriptures in Jesus' name. Amen. What I want to speak on is resurrection morning. And you may take your seats. Now it was the end of the Sabbath, and began to dawn the first day. It was yet dark when Mary Magdalene And Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, came to bring spices to the sepulcher. And when they arrived, they found that the stone had been rolled away. There was a great earthquake that had happened, and it rolled the stone away. And they saw what they thought was two men. And they were a little afraid because they didn't see Jesus' body there, but they saw these two men. And the men asked him, said, "Fear not, for we know you seek Jesus." Then they asked him, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" And said, "He's not here, for he's arisen. Come see the place where the Lord laid." And said, "Go quickly and tell his disciples he's risen from the dead, and he goeth before you into Galilee as he hath told you." Mary Magdalene, then they told the disciples, and the disciples didn't believe them. The 11. Peter went running to the sepulcher. Another disciple ran and outrun Peter and got to the sepulcher first and looked in, and they saw the burying cloths laying there folded up, and the napkin that was wrapped around his head folded up and to the side. And they didn't know what had happened, because the Bible says they didn't know the scripture that he was going to be raised from the dead. And that's something. He had told them these things, and they had heard them, but it wasn't revealed to them. You know, people can hear things, but unless God opens up their eyes and their ears of their heart and reveals it to them, then it's no more than just it's words that they don't comprehend. They don't understand. One of the reasons for this is because that it's hard for humans to actually understand the supernatural. Humans have certain parameters within they think and see and comprehend things. And when the supernatural happens outside those parameters, and so it becomes difficult for the human mind to grasp everything that takes place in the supernatural. And so the Bible says that they did not believe what the women told them. And so they went away. They were sad because they couldn't find the Lord's body. They presumed somebody had come in and took his body. And as they left, Mary Magdalene stayed behind. And she stood there weeping, not knowing what had taken place. And while she was weeping, Jesus appeared to her. And Jesus said, "Mary," and she turned herself to him. And she said, "Master." And he said, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but I go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." And he says, "Go tell my disciples and Peter." And we've preached on that before, how that he named Peter by name, because Peter was really, really down on himself about then. Because he had scene where he had denied the Lord. And three times. And that was something very grievous in Peter's heart. He was grieved at himself. Have you ever been there? Where something that you've done, and when you realize what you've done, you become grieved at yourself. And Peter needed that extra special invitation from Jesus to know that Jesus would want to see him again. But they didn't believe. And so Peter said, I'm going to go fishing. And many of the brethren went with him because they did not know the scripture. And then that morning, I looked it up to see what type of weather it would have been. And it would have been about 50 degrees right before dawn in Israel, in Jerusalem. And so it would have been a kind of cold morning when all of this was taking place. And we know how that Jesus come to them by the seashore. They had been toiling and hadn't caught any fish. He told them, cast your nets on the other side of the boat. And they brought in a great haul. And John, the disciple that Jesus loved, said, wait a minute, that's him. That's Jesus. He's done this before. There was two brethren, Cleophas and a friend of his, another disciple. They were on their road to Emmaus that morning after the women had told them what had took place. And as they were walking, they were talking about all these things that had taken place. And they didn't know what to make of it. The Bible says while they talked on these things, Jesus drew near to them. And when Jesus asked them what were they troubled about, and they said, are you a stranger to these parts? Have you not heard of what has taken place concerning Jesus of Nazareth? And they said, how the chief priests and rulers took and crucified him. And they said, and we thought that we trusted it had been he that should redeem Israel. But they did not understand, see. And they told about the women who had went to the sepulcher and had not found the body, and what the women had said. And they were still troubled in their mind at these things. They didn't know what to think. Then Jesus began to talk to them and said, oh, you fools, slow of heart, to believe all the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory? Beginning at Moses and the prophets, he began to expound to them all the scriptures that were pointing at the coming of the Messiah and what must happen to him and what he must suffer. And yet they still did not know this was Jesus. But his words did something to them. While they listened, they constrained him when they got to the end to come in and eat with them. And Jesus went in with them. Then he had did something that they had saw him do before he had been crucified. He broke the bread, and he broke it in a certain way that they had remembered him breaking it for them before. And their eyes were open, and they knew that it was Jesus that had been with them. And the Bible says he vanished out of their sight. And they said, did not our hearts burn within us as he talked to us along the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? That's wonderful when the Lord opens the scriptures to us. When it makes it come alive, where it's more than just letter. And you know, there's many churches this morning that are packed out with people gathering for Easter. There'll be people that comes to church today that don't normally come regularly during the year, but they'll go on Easter. There's people that sit at home and listen to tapes, don't believe in a pastor, but on Easter, if they can all possibly do it, they'll make sure they go to church, or at least go to Jeffersonville. But the difference in the bride who has the revealed word, she sees Jesus Christ alive in his word. We love Brother Branham, but we don't worship him. He was a man. I'm thankful for him. I can't wait to meet him. I'm thankful for what he did and sacrificed to bring this message to us. But he was just a man like you and I, with the gift of a prophet in his life. So I don't go somewhere to watch for him to resurrect. I believe when Brother Branham resurrects, I believe there's some folks standing in line to see him first, and that's probably his family. I don't believe there's going to be a big gathering around his tomb when he comes forth. I don't believe he's going to be seen by everybody, just by the bride of Jesus Christ. But I'm looking forward to the coming of Jesus. Yes, I look forward to the resurrection. Do you realize that this Easter that we're celebrating, it actually points to a great Easter that's coming? This resurrection morning that we're celebrating now, it points to a great resurrection morning coming. When the dead in Christ shall rise first. You might think I say it too often, but I'm really looking forward to the resurrection. I'm looking forward to seeing my loved ones again. And I'm looking forward to being changed. what a proof we've got of the resurrection. Brother Branham says the Bible declares it. His omnipotent presence declares it. His healing power declares it. His great spirit declares it. Everything in nature declares it. His church declares it. My heart declares it. Every born again man's heart declares it. That Jesus Christ is the Son of God and he will come again. Amen. We've got a proof, not only of an empty tomb. The Bible says that even till this day, there are Jews that say the disciples came and removed his body and made up this whole story. But we know there's coming a day yet when he'll reveal himself to the Jews. But we're looking to what comes before that. First, resurrection morning, there'll be no hurry. We won't be in a hurry. All the hurry and everything will cease. You know, I think about the change that we'll go through. And many times when we think about it, we point at the physical changes that will take place. But there's going to be some supernatural changes that takes place in us. Hallelujah. We'll be in his own likeness. I don't believe that in this body that we could fully stand to see the face of Jesus. But after that change, we'll be able to. And all the worries that we've had and the cares of this life, when we're changed, they'll be gone from us in an instant. We won't be concerned with those things anymore. So why do we let them now get us down sometimes so much? Because all of those things are going to pass. Hallelujah. You know, Brother Branham said years ago that America was broke. And I don't know where they keep borrowing all this money from. But they talk constantly about the national debt and how far in debt America is. And I believe, friends, they're so far in debt, there's no way out for them. The almighty American dollar has fallen. But we don't have to worry about that. We don't have to worry about this economy. The Lord said he'd take care of us. Just like he takes care of the birds. He takes care of us. He takes care of the flowers. He takes care of us. God has seen us through this life. Very often, I think of a scripture that my dad quoted to me, and even wrote in the front of the Bible that he gave me. I was once young, but now I'm old. But I have never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Oh, God takes care of us, friends. And on that great resurrection morning, all the cares of this life will be rolled away. There won't be no hurry. because we're going to have eternity. I'll tell you what, all the miles of this life's journey will have been worth it. The great resurrection morning, Brother Branham says, when all life is over and our work on earth is done, we go home to the wedding supper. Oh, and that's going to be a wonderful time. Sitting down at that table that we know is going to stretch for miles. Then we'll return back for the millennium. And reign 1,000 years. Brother Branham says the angels of God will be singing on resurrection morning. Won't that be something? Just imagine if you could, on resurrection morning when you're being changed, begin to hear the angels singing. Why? Because you're coming in contact with another dimension. The unsaved, the unborn again, they'll not hear it. And I believe, and I've talked and heard other ministers must say the same thing, that I don't believe that they'll be able to see us anymore, even though we'll still be here. And you'll be so involved with your change and with your resurrected loved ones and friends, but you're not going to think about, maybe I can run over and tell somebody what has happened. The people are going to go on. They aren't going to know what's happened. When you disappear. But I think, on a sad note, of those who have knowledge of this end time message and have stopped walking in it. And when they go to look for you and can't find you, something's going to click. A little scare happens to them even now every once in a while when they can't get a hold of you. A little scare that maybe the rapture has taken place. You think that little scare would compel them to get where they should be, get right with God, get in church. Church doesn't save you. But I can tell you this. If you're going in the rapture, you're going to want to go to church. If you're born again of God, you're going to want to go to church. If you don't want to go to church, then there hasn't been any regeneration in your life. And that's what they need. It takes more than knowledge of this message. You have to be born again. Speak to the rock. Brother Adam says, but then it falls like a grain of wheat when it goes in the earth. Talking about our bodies. But then on resurrection morning, when it's resurrected again, it'll not be resurrected old and gray and stooped over. But it'll just be what it was before death ever struck it. Now he's not talking about when somebody dies, but he's talking about when you reach a certain age, your cells stop reproducing themselves the same way. You don't grow anymore. Your brain don't get no bigger. And your body, it's about 25 years old, your body, the first light goes out. And then from there, it's all downhill. But it'll be just what it was before death ever struck it, because all death will be taken away from it. Isn't that wonderful? Some of us will be black-headed, some red-headed, some blonde. Say, Brother Branham, is that right? Yes, God isn't uniform. God is without form. Look here. He makes big trees, little trees, thin trees. He makes white flowers, blue flowers. God is a God of variety. He makes little people, big people, short people, thin people. That's just the way we'll be in the resurrection. And we shall know each other as we're known. Thanks be to God. Now, I made a statement. I said that Brother Branham is going to come back and appear to his family. I read a quote where Brother Branham was thinking about resurrection morning. He was actually preaching this on Mother's Day, which would have been in May, so it would have been after Easter. But he began to talk about resurrection morning. And he says, I'm thinking of my family, what it'll mean for me at that day. I'm thinking that on that resurrection morning, perhaps one will come to meet me, will be my little Sharon. No, she won't be shaken. The devil can't enter that place. No meningitis could ever touch that land. She won't be waving goodbye to me. Those little blue eyes will be dancing as she throws her arms forth and screams, Daddy. I'm glad to see her, to know she'll never die again, to know that it's all over. Why I preach resurrection so hard. Then I'll see her mother, the mother of Billy, my boy. And I have lots of memories right there that lingers on. And I remember when I was taking her up to Mr. Combs up there, taking her for the last ride, I was following her in a car as they went down 7th Street right there, Billy, 18 months old, how they brought him out on the street to let her see him. She lay there weeping, looked at her baby, but she couldn't even get near him. Then on the road down, the undertaker came along and went down 7th Street. Mama was taking care of him at the time. He was standing out in the yard, a little boy with a pair of short pants and a little red cap pulled sideways on his head. When that mother lay in there, in the back, the ambulance watching, she'd seen her baby stand in the yard, knowed she was taking her final ride. She raised from the cot and screamed and throwed out her bony hand to embrace the baby in the yard, but she couldn't have him. Oh, it'd be a joy to see her on that day. No, she won't have bony hands. Neither will them cheeks be sunk in. But she'll stand in the celestial beauty of a queen of heaven and a mother. Her black eyes, as black as raven's wings, will be dancing with joy. She won't be stooped over where the devil of TB will never be able to enter that land, but immortal will stand in his likeness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The message of the mighty conqueror. Brother Branham begins to talk about when John the Revelator saw Jesus. This is while he was on the Isle of Patmos. And that aged old seer, John the Beloved, standing out yonder on the Isle of Patmos for preaching the word of God, for preaching divine healing, for healing the sick, for doing things that Christ had told him to do. And they took him out on the Isle of Patmos, a little island out on the Aegean Sea, about 15 miles in circumference around it, full of rocks like Alcatraz now, snakes and things laid out on the island. He was exiled there because of preaching the gospel. When that aged, beloved old seer in his 90th year was sitting out there on a rock one beautiful resurrection morning, he saw him. He saw him. He said, I heard a voice of a trumpet, and when I looked and turned behind me, I saw one like the Son of Man. His eyes were not full of tears then. His eyes shined like the sun in the middle of the day. The middle of the Sierra sun could not outshine his eyes. He looked as he gazed down, no more tears in his eyes. He's glorified this morning. His feet look like pillars of brass. No more spikes will ever be drove into them. Never a bloody lock. But as it was white as snow, he's glorified. He lives forevermore. He's a mighty conqueror. His dominion is from everlasting to everlasting. His delegates are those who love him and are willing to die for him. He's raised from the dead this morning and living among us. Do you believe this? Amen. If you're going to be able to make that resurrection morning, first thing's going to have to happen is you're going to have to be born again. You're going to have a change in your life. In one message in 1961, Brother Branham was talking about, he said the other day he was out in California at a big Pentecostal church. And he said he made an altar call. And about three or four people out of a crowd of hundreds, about three or four people came up. And he said he begged for 5 minutes to get somebody to come and pray with those sinners that came up. And he said the church was so cold and formal, Pentecostals, that nobody would even get out of their seat to come up there and pray with them ones that had come up. He said, then he went and preached in an old Baptist church. And he said, they, you know, one of them ones where you have all day preaching and dinner on the ground. And he said, he began to talk about his grandmother, how she had passed away laying in his arms, and how she told him, I'll see you again, Billy. As he began to talk about that, he had an aunt that was there, and that would have been her mother. And when she heard him talking about her that way, why, she got up and said, Hallelujah. And here she come on down to the altar. He said, when that happened, there was another old sinner boy, he said, that was sitting out there with his hat in his hand. And he said, oh, God, have mercy on my soul. And said he got out of his seat, started to run down to the altar and said that there was about 20 old mammies, he said, coming gathered around him. Said he got saved plumb before he ever got to the altar. Hallelujah. That's the way it ought to be. Amen. If he's resurrected and he's alive in our hearts, then we should never get cold and indifferent. We should always be looking for someone to come to Jesus and give their life to him. Hallelujah. We've got young ones too. We just dedicated this morning, but we've got other young ones in this church, children. And even though I don't think time could carry that long, but we don't know when the Lord's coming. And if time would tarry, they would become of age, then they would be giving their hearts and lives to the Lord. And you know what is going to affect them a lot at that time when they come to that age? Is going to be whatever you've done right now while they're the age they are. Teach them about the Lord. Teach them about the things of God. Amen. Let them ask you those hard questions. The ones you got to try to break down to their level of understanding to explain to them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Teach them that he's alive. He's not just our conscience. You know, it's not just imagination, but he's real. Bring to their attention the real things that he does. Tell them how you got prayed for and God blessed you with them. Hallelujah. Tell them these things. Let them know. Hallelujah. My wife and I, we were married 3 years before Jessica was born. In that amount of time, we was wanting to have a baby. It didn't seem like anything was happening. So we went and got prayed for. We didn't go to the doctor. We didn't go to the fertility clinic. I'm not trying to say that against anybody maybe that ever has done that. But we went and got prayed for. And we believed God would answer the prayer. And after we got prayed for, it was just about 9 months later we had a baby girl. And we named her Jessica, which meant gift of God, because she was a gift of God to us. And the Lord didn't stop blessing us there. He kept on blessing us some more. Amen. I'm happy for every one of them. Sometimes, you know, Sister Roberts, sometimes I wish I could take them back to when they were little again. But they're all grown up adults now and have children of their own. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Resurrection morning. Looking forward to that. When the dead in Christ will rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment and twinkling of an eye. The prophet said we'll have about a month or so with them to reunite. 30, 45 days. And then we'll be caught up to meet our Lord in the air. Brother Branham says he's going to give us that time to get reunited with our loved ones, because when we're caught up, he wants all eyes to be on him. I believe it will be. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this service this morning. We thank you, God, for this, Father, remembrance of the day that you rose from the dead. You came in flesh. God, you took the toxin of death, embraced death. Lord, took the keys of death and hell. and you arose to be alive forevermore. God, you've done all this that we might be free from our sins. We thank you for it this morning, God, because without that we'd be lost. Not only did you resurrect, God, but your spirit came back to dwell in each and every believer, dear God, that's born again. Bless your children this morning, dear God, your sheep of your pasture. Bless them, dear God. Lord, may we go forth from here, dear God, still, Father, glorifying you on this day of resurrection. This beautiful Easter morning. We ask in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.